Have you ever wondered why God has allowed you to experience suffering and loss? Hi, I'm Esther Lowe, and you're listening to the Learn and Share podcast. In today's episode, Frank Hazel answers this question from his own experience.
Very nice to have you, Frank. I appreciate it. I want to start us off with finding out a little bit about yourself before we go into more of our topic for today. Who are you? Where do you come from?
Sure. I'm originally from Germany. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised in Germany. My parents are Seventh-day Adventists. I grew up in a Christian home. And I did my high school in Germany and some of my college days in Germany and England and the United States. And I worked as a pastor.
That's just great to get a picture of who you are. So it sounds like you've got a very kind of diverse background. You've lived in many different countries, and you have an experience that's covered several continents. Coming to our topic today, which is, you know, dealing with difficulties and challenges that come along in life, what's some experiences that have happened in your life that are personal, where God taught you how to go through difficulty and hard times?
Well, that's a good question. It's not so easily answered. But let me start by saying that I believe life is good. And I firmly believe that God is good, for that matter. But not everything in life is smooth sailing, so to speak. So there are instances in life, and I think that's the experience of every one of us, where challenges mount and where difficulties start and even evil things happen. And sometimes they lead to rather difficult circumstances and experiences where these evil things and these bad things in life, they have the potential of even destroying your faith so that you can go shipwreck.
Yeah.
And if I look at my life, I was blessed with a very happy childhood, and I have very good memories of that. Of course, there are challenges in your studies, in your personal life, but the real challenge for me in the most recent past has been a challenge of significant loss. When I lost my wife, she had breast cancer and didn't survive, and she died. And that has been a challenge. And that is not easy.
No.
To cope with. So, that really is a very painful, painful experience. And fortunately, I have to say that God has helped me through, and with the help of many other people. You really appreciate acts of friendliness and kindness much more when you experience something like that. So, yeah, there are many things, many aspects that I could talk about. So.
Right. And we'll get into those as we go along. But to me, it sounds like this is a problem, the problem of pain, I guess you could call it, and difficulty in life. Is one it's personal for you, but it's also something that eventually in everybody's life they'll experience, right?
That's right.
So coming back to, you know, you said a lot of people have a shipwreck of faith when they go through experiences like this. Why does God, in your opinion, allow really difficult times? If He is a God of love, why do we go through these things?
Yes. Well, if I were God, I could give you an answer to that. But the typical question that arises in a situation like that, I've had those questions. Other people have those questions. Are those why questions? Why did that happen? Why does that happen to me? Why? These questions are difficult to answer because we don't know all the details and all the background information that God has available. And so sometimes there are things in life that for which we have no good explanation for. They just occur, they happen, and you do not really know why. And the interesting thing in our experience has been that we have raised our own set of why questions. For instance, we raised the questions, Why shouldn't that happen to us?
Yes.
Why only to other people? Why shouldn't we be affected by evil in this world, mm-hmm. since we live in a world that is not perfect, but is affected by sin?
Mm-hmm.
So why should all the other people suffer and die and have cancer and not survive? And,
mm-hmm.
and so we firmly believe that as Christians, yes, there are certain blessings mm-hmm. that go along with a Christian biblical lifestyle, and we've experienced that. Mm-hmm. But it's not a something that will save you from every difficulty
right.
and every pain. And we are in this world, and we experience something that other people experience as well. So why did that happen?
Yeah.
Why did God permit that to happen? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things happen and we don't have an easy answer to that.
Mm.
And sometimes we're tempted to, because it's not easy to live with open questions like mm. that. And so people try to find an answer that will justify what has happened. And mm. then they come up with the strangest constructions. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sometimes people would say, in order to comfort me,
mm-hmm.
they would say, well, God maybe permitted that to happen, you know, because it will help you and teach you to be more sympathetic with other people who have experienced different losses. So things like that, you know.
Right.
And yes, that certainly might be a reason why this could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was not a convincing reason.
No.
I mean, if he wanted me to teach anything, he could have had 1,000 other ways mm-hmm. to teach me that lesson. He didn't need to do it that way mm-hmm. particularly. And there are other good advices, you know, that you hear and that you have to deal with. All well meant, but mm-hmm. not all that helpful in a particular situation like that. So we live in an imperfect world. Mm-hmm. We live in a sinful world. And sometimes things happen for which we have no good explanation.
Uh-huh.
The challenge for us is, I think, as Christians, and the challenge has been for me, is even though you cannot explain everything, mm-hmm. even though you don't have an answer to every question you have, do you still trust God?
Uh-huh.
Do you still believe that He is a good God?
Mm-hmm.
See, and here I find that many people have a wrong understanding, a wrong concept of God mm. and His nature and the way He deals with us. And I personally believe, and that really has helped me, that God is good
mm-hmm.
all the time. All the time, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Most
right.
people would say yes. But then, do you really believe that God is 100% mm-hmm. through and through, nothing but good, from A mm. to Z, from beginning to end, from top to toe? Nothing but good. There is not a shadow of, you know, do you really believe that?
Mm.
Or do you believe what most people believe? They would say, oh, yes, I have no doubts God is good. In fact, they would say, He is very good. In fact, He is very good very often, but not always.
Uh-huh.
See, that's what most people think. Now, if you think that way, and you think God is good, He is mm-hmm. Very good very often, but mm-hmm. not always, how can you trust a God that is not always good?
Mm.
And then immediately powerful. You have to raise the why question in
right.
order to find a reason and a rationale
mm-hmm.
why this or that happened. And only after you're satisfied with an answer like that will you be willing to trust Him. But that's not the way it works.
Uh-huh.
And the big question is, do you really believe that God is good
mm.
even though you can't explain everything in life that happens to you? I think we have plenty
right.
of reasons to believe that God is good. He has demonstrated that through His Son, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And even though I don't have every answer mm-hmm. to every question, I know the One who has.
Mm.
And I trust the One who has. And in His own due time, He might tell me something, and maybe even later might reveal something to me that is beyond my understanding and beyond my comprehension.
Basically, then it's really comes to the root of the problem of what we believe about God.
Oh, yes.
And whether we believe that he has our best in mind. This comes to another question that I have. You know, I've had this question asked to me over the years, and I used to ask this myself. Does everything that happened in our lives happen because God made it happen? So therefore, is there always a purpose for our suffering? Or is some of it just, I guess, collateral damage of the world that we live in?
Well, that's a very complex question that you raise here. In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. That's a clear answer, right?
Right.
I don't believe in predestination in the sense that God predestines and predetermines every single act and thing that occurs in your life. I think he has created us human beings in such a way that we have free choice. We can make decisions, even decisions that he doesn't like and approve. But then he is still sovereign. And even though we make decisions that might be even wrong, he still has his own ways to use that for his own glory, if we permit him. So, does everything that happen at his command? No, I don't think so. Because he doesn't delight in evil things.
Right.
He doesn't delight in pain and suffering. But he can still use that. For his own glory, and if we permit him to be the Lord in our lives, and sometimes we have to learn to wait, and we often are impatient, and we don't. If you're like me, you don't like to wait. You know, you know what to accomplish and what time and where to get it the fastest done, and so we think waiting is a detour. Is not necessary, but maybe God wants me to learn something, and maybe God wants me to become the person he wants me to be that I would never be without the experience of waiting, without the experience of going through some painful things.
Right.
Not that he delights in that, but he can use even the evil things in life to bring out something good in the end.
Is it fair to say that God doesn't necessarily cause every experience that we go through, but he doesn't waste our experiences?
Oh, he is not a wasteful God. No.
Okay.
That's
very encouraging, and encouraging to me that even if I went through an experience that was discouraging and difficult, he's going to use that to grow me.
Yes. In fact, if I might just add another thought, you know, the way the Bible explains how this life on this earth came about through a creator God is so completely contrary and in contrast to the evolutionary idea of a very wasteful process of making life possible.
Right.
If you look at evolution, it's a wasteful, I mean, millions and millions of species, you know, have to die in order to evolve to a higher level of consciousness even and abilities. And this kind of God is not the kind of God that you find in the Bible. It's not a God of compassion and love. It's not a God that is really adorable. It's not it's not a God worthy of our adoration and praise. It's an utterly wasteful process. You know, to think that God would even use the process and the mechanism of evolution to produce something beautiful is so contrary to what the Bible teaches us that it just doesn't fit together. So that's just a little footnote on what you said. I don't think God is wasteful at all. He uses whatever he has created very effectively and meaningful.
It's a beautiful concept. Now, talking about actually going through the experience of loss, and every person has their own pain that they've gone through. What is a Christian way to deal with it? Are we allowed to get angry with God? How do we express our feelings? And how can we go through that process?
Good question. I think, for one thing, every person experiences loss differently,
mm-hmm.
and goes through loss in a different experience. So no, I should not make my own experience with loss the norm for how other people have mm-hmm. to deal with it. And how do we express our emotions? I think we should be honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be honest enough to say that this is not a nice feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all right to be even be angry at God. He is not taken aback of that, because mm-hmm. he has experienced that himself. Mm-hmm. He knows. He knows the experience of loss. He knows how we feel about it. And if you read the Psalms, you find that David and other writers, mm-hmm. they did not hold back. They expressed their strong emotions and mm-hmm. their strong feelings, even about things that went not well, that were evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they expressed that even in words that are too harsh for our ears.
Right.
And then the same David who really curses in his fury, he curses his enemies. He says, "But search me, O Lord, mm-hmm. and see my how I mean it in my heart, you know, and, mm-hmm. and give me a new heart." So it's not wrong to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong to have strong feelings. In fact, I think it is important that we are able to express that, and even as a man, to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus cried.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to do that. But God can help us to deal even with those mm-hmm. feelings, and help us to not get stuck in any negative feelings.
Right.
So that we are just revolving around ourselves rather than seeing any hope or any mm-hmm. any new perspective.
Yeah, so how do we actually break that cycle? Because sometimes when we're expressing our feelings, it's easy to go into the, I call a pity party.
Yes.
Where you keep thinking about the bad things that have happened to you and how bad you mm-hmm. feel about them, and lose sight of God and faith in Him. So how do we make that transition?
I wish I could give an answer for every situation, but I don't. But there's one thing that really was helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you develop an attitude of gratitude? How do you to gain a new perspective on things if you don't just feel like being grateful at all?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you experience significant loss,
yeah.
not just through death, but through other things, you know, if you're a young person and you have an accident,
mm-hmm.
and one of your legs is amputated and lost, you know, you go through significant loss. It changes the direction of your life, your career, and, mm-hmm. and other things. So if you're in a situation like that where you experience loss, you don't feel grateful.
No.
You feel envious of people mm-hmm. who can do things that you no longer can. And so what has helped me is a very simple strategy that is so powerful and effective. It has just one drawback.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a penny, and that's why many people don't give it a try. And it works like this. Take a piece of paper, a sheet of paper,
mm-hmm.
and a pencil, and write down 10 items for which you are grateful for.
Hmm.
It's simple, just one word. Now, if you're in a situation like that, you don't even come up with 5, you
right.
know, or 3. You don't even think about it. It really requires determined thinking
mm-hmm.
to think about things for which you can be grateful. It can be simple things like a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just imagine how your bad smell would, you know. And you have that, or you have a bed where you can sleep, or you mm-hmm. have a house and you're sheltered, and you have hands
mm-hmm.
with which you can touch another person, you can open a book, mm-hmm. you can do things. So you write down 10 words, and then the next step is, with every single word, you form a short sentence. And in that sentence, you express your thankfulness, your gratefulness for that particular thing. So mm-hmm. you would say, you have the word hand, and you would say, "I'm grateful that I have hands, two hands for that matter,
mm-hmm.
with with whom I can write a letter or touch a person or play my music instrument or whatever you do with your hands. And you form a whole sentence. And then you speak out loud. Loud means that you can hear yourself speaking that sentence. You speak out loud that sentence and you say, I'm grateful, I'm thankful that I have hands to play my piano, for instance. Mm-hmm. Now, the more of your six senses are involved, seeing, you write, touching, you do it, you know, hearing, speaking, the more deeply ingrained will be that idea, that thankfulness.
Uh-huh.
And you go through every of those 10 things, 10 sentences, you speak them aloud. The next day, you repeat that procedure and you choose 10 new things for which you are grateful. And if you want to intensify that experience, you will repeat the 10 things from the previous day.
Wow.
At the end of just 1 week, you have 70 reasons for which you are grateful.
Wow.
And it just does something to you. You cannot practice that and remain ungrateful. The more you think, the more you discover, the more your eyes see things that you formerly are blind to. And it changes your whole direction. It changes your attitude. It changes your perspective. And you gain a new horizon of things that formerly you were close to because you're just so consumed with that pain and that loss and the things you can't do anymore that you lose sight of the things that you are still able to do and you're capable of doing. And so it gives you a new perspective and it changes the whole entire outlook. And it has revolutionized my life, and I know the life of many other people who've tried it. And it's just one little exercise that can help to gain a new perspective, even if you don't feel like it.
That's very powerful, and you know it reminds me of a lot of David's Psalms, where he does go into praising the Lord and thinking of the things that God's done for him.
Yes.
Just changing focus a little bit here. What about those of us who might have friends who are going through loss? How can we support those people? I know that you mentioned, you know, people saying things to you that were well meant, but probably hurtful. How do we avoid doing that and help?
Well, yeah. Usually, when you have a friend or a person that you know who goes through something like that, and you feel insecure, you don't know what to say, and usually the reaction is, I'd rather say nothing than remind them of something painful. And that is not the most helpful thing. In my experience, the most helpful thing in dealing with the loss of my wife has not been any religious perspective of I will see her again in heaven and so forth. That was not helpful to me. It was not comforting because I felt her missing acutely in the now, here and now. So any future consolation, you know, was not really helping me in my feeling of loss. But what helped me is when people took the time to tell me or write me a little incidents and little experience that they had with my wife, where she where they remembered her, and little circumstances, little stories where she was helpful in the life of another person, where she made an impact on another person, where she was remembered positively in the lives of other people. And that really, really was very comforting for me to deal with a loss, because there is an Irish proverb that I once heard that goes something like this: death leaves a sorrow no one can heal, but love creates a memory no one can steal.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And being remembered of something that love has created, a memory that stays with you, something for which you are grateful for, a common thing that was created out of love. That is very comforting. Mm-hmm. So to remind people about that, to talk about things that you've appreciated about that person, things that you liked about that person, I think any person is more than eager to hear that and will be comforted in hearing that. So that has been helpful for me to... So that is something I would say to people. So what can you say?
Yeah.
Try to find something that you remember about the person that you appreciated and express that. And it will be appreciated.
That's great. I like one thing I noticed about that is that in a way that's bringing the person that you've lost back into the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does something in the present rather than pushing it off to the future.
That's right.
Or keeping it hidden in the past. What about losses that are negative, like divorce or something else that the memory is not a good memory?
But everything has to come to a closure.
Right.
If you keep it constantly open, it will never close, and you will never be able to go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to learn that, yes, there are losses in life, and there are painful experiences, and there are things that that will stay with me as a consequence of some of these decisions. But still, I have to come to a point where I say, well, I have to take responsibility for whatever responsibility I need to take, and this has been in the past, and now I'm ready to move on for something new that I will be able, with God's grace, to develop in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And this can happen no matter whether you've lost somebody or whether you went through loss through divorce or some other things.
Thank you so much for your time. Just as we close, looking back on what we've talked about, I really hear that emotional healing through pain has to do a lot with a trust in God and what we believe about Him, the gratitude that we develop and express, and also allowing ourselves to come to closure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate that you were able to share with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe and share this episode with your friends. To learn more, check us out at learnandsharepodcast.com.